Hey there, Ephesiology listeners. This is Matt Till, one of the hosts of the Ephesiology podcast. Thanks for tuning in this week for us and with us. On today's podcast, what you're going to hear is a webinar, a live webinar that I did this week on Wednesday, March 18th, for churches interested in learning on how to adapt their existing church models into a microsite church model. If you're looking for something that's going to encourage and equip mutual ministry and move from just a strict online passive format, but one that actually engages your church for mission, even while perhaps they are stuck at home or limited to small group sizes, this would be for you. So please listen in this week on the podcast that, and what you're going to hear right now following is in fact the audio version of that webinar. Now you can find the video for that and the content for this webinar, as well as additional resources, on my personal website, and that is matthewtill.com. So matthewtill.com. Enjoy the podcast. Well, thanks and welcome to Resources and Strategies for Going Micro. We are obviously in unprecedented times, and we realize that many churches, as you are, scrambling to react to COVID-19, the pandemic that is sweeping the world right now. We are trying to figure out ways and methodologies and strategies of how we are going to adapt to our ministries. And so I want to share a little bit about us and myself with Restoration Church and some of the things that we're doing. And all I want to do is just serve you, the church, and literally download all that I have for you at this moment and share whatever I have to offer you. But first of all, just a little bit about myself. So my name is Matt Till. I'm a lecturer of Christian Ministries and Communications at Trinity International University here in the Deerfield in Chicago area. I am the co-host of the Ephesiology podcast and a blogger at ephesiology.com. Now, Ephesiology is, we are doing a work where we are studying, the movement of the early Christian church and its implications for the world today and for the churches today. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the presentation today. I'm also lead pastor of Restoration Church in Lake Zurich, Illinois, again, Chicago suburb. And, I'm going to tell you more about what we've been doing at Restoration Church, and hopefully it will spur some ideas for you and your team. And also I'm a blogger on theology, culture, and mission at my website at matthewtill.com. And this is where you're going to find the recording of this later on. So continuing on, the outcomes for today and just kind of what I'm hoping that we're going to be able to accomplish today. First of all, just hopefully we're going to be encouraged through the difficult decisions before us as pastors and church leaders. I am a pastor. I'm a church leader. We certainly have difficult decisions that are before us in the interim, but perhaps even the long term. Also, again, want to share all that we at Restoration Church have learned in adapting from a traditional church plant to a micro church. And we'll talk more about what that looks like for us. And hopefully to provoke some new ideas for you and your church. Whether you choose to follow us in step and do exactly what we've been doing, or you would like to, or maybe you just get some ideas that'll come out of this for yourself that you want to adapt and change for your team. Whatever that works for you and however you feel like that's going to help be helpful to you. And of course, to provide some practical resources for the implementation, I should say, of micro church or micro site gatherings. And I'm going to share just some resources with you guys at the end here. Just a little bit about our story. So Restoration Church, we started in 2017. We are an affiliation with the Evangelical Free Church of America, the EFCA, here in the Great Lakes District, which is the Chicagoland area. And we planted a church at the end of 2017 and early 2018. And we were working to a traditional church planting strategy where we were looking in a launch large model. As we were evaluating not only our own methodologies, but we're also evaluating the world around us and the culture around us. We're coming on the heels after the 2016 election. We're coming off the heels of two right around the same time we're planting two mega churches in the Chicagoland area made national headlines for various scandals, and distrust of evangelicalism was beginning to show itself, and so we had to. We decided to revert, and we decided to kind of change our methodologies, and we began to explore micro church, house church type of models and approaches, all with the idea of being disciple-making centric. And so that's just kind of a brief overview, a little bit about our story as to where we've been over the last 3 years. What we developed was something that we called flipping the church. Now, it could sound a little, we called it flipping the church because really what I did is I stole the idea, or borrowed, I should say, from higher education. My experience in higher education, this has been around for a while, where we were experimenting with ideas of flipping the classroom. Basically, what you're doing is you're providing maybe lecture material ahead of time, and then your classroom becomes an active learning environment rather than a passive one. And so for us, what we did is we borrowed the concept and began to move into a methodology that was really an intentional discipleship strategy inspired by the first century church that seeks to engage how people learn best, leverages accessible modern day technology, and adjusts to the changing landscape of societal norms. And so this is really something that we just intentionally began to move into, and we felt that the Lord was leading us in this direction. Who would have thought that a pandemic would suddenly perhaps make this even more of a viable or a potential solution for perhaps even your church, or at least to give you some ideas? The methodology for us were some significant paradigm shifts. One, we moved from a lecture-centered to participatory-centered environment. So in other words, instead of gathering 100 people or 50 people or 200 people or 2,000 people in a room for passive lecture-based learning, we decided to move them to our active-based learning when we got together. We went from synchronous to asynchronous. So instead of everything happening at the church simultaneously, we actually invited independent work and invited independent learning and discipleship. We moved from centralization to decentralization. Now, this has more to do with our authority and leadership. Instead of having a strong hierarchy, we decided to move towards more influence-based ministry and influence-based leadership. Now, our findings, I don't have any particular strong data or that we've necessarily used in this, but just based on just kind of what we have seen in our environment is that we've seen high engagement, high commitment, growing Christ-like identities, transformational conversations, miraculous moments, and missional living. And so these are all the outcomes that we're hoping to see. And again, we're still in process. And because it is a paradigm shift, we're obviously still kind of working on kinks, and we don't think we've got it down perfectly. But these are some of the things that we have been able to see in some of our findings from making this adjustment in our environment, at least in our setting. And now for us at Restoration Church, we kind of adopted a dual component strategy for flipping the church. One, we went to a midweek video podcast. So essentially what you would see is literally you can go and find on our website, you'll find videos of me in this exact setting with this exact microphone sharing a message or a teaching for the week. Instead of maybe a 45-minute sermon, it might be boiled down more to like a 20-minute or 30-minute teaching video, sermon message, if you will. People were able to engage with that during the week on their own time. We realized that people were already engaging in things. They were listening to Matt Chandler and Tim Keller and Francis Chan and these other kind of, you know, other pastors and preachers around the world already. And so, and their other favorite podcasts. And so we decided to say, well, here's the material ahead of time. We want you to engage with it on your own. And we want you to reflect on it. We want you to answer some questions that were given at the end of the conclusion of the video. And we'd like you to wrestle with those. And then component number two was you would come together on Sunday in kind of a really Acts 2 model, which is really something that we've been leaning into a lot, for a home-based gathering. And so in that gathering, we'd spend time in, and I'm going to share more about what we do in that time, but also it's like you now had time to hear the message in advance, and now the home-based gathering, the Sunday gathering, the microsite now became a collective. It became an active learning environment for us. So again, these are the two components that we really kind of leaned into as we were exploring this with flipping the church and pursuing microsite. Now, I want to take a look at, as a lot of your teams are probably thinking through these things of current strategies for remote discipleship. Obviously, depending upon where your church was last week, this week presents new challenges. The president just announced that they're discouraging groups of 10 or more. Most states have gone to at least a hard line of 50 or more. That all of a sudden takes out most of your churches and your ability to meet and gather together. Your current strategies for remote discipleship, and some of these are probably already implemented in different ways, and you were probably doing this even before the pandemic started. A live stream, a website, or a webcast, or a Facebook Live, for example, to allow people who maybe are shut-ins to engage with your church. Perhaps maybe you engaged video conferencing this last weekend or considering that through, for example, like through Zoom. You already have small groups and community groups already in place. So there's things here to leverage going in the future and allows you to do more asynchronous and decentralized ministry. Some of you are considering canceling or have canceled services or programs, and therefore you're sending people back into the homes. You may be thinking about hybrid approaches of how do we kind of leverage these things and kind of work them in tandem and utilize them to our best of our ability. Or thinking about maybe adapting to more of a long-term micro church or site type of strategy. So these are your current strategies. I think something we really need to consider here is that this is our moment for the church. We are facing a pandemic crisis that affects all of us. There's no way to avoid that. That is the reality. Today, we are being forced to adopt new methodologies today and again for next week. And we don't know how long this will go. The long-term implications here are unknown. We're not so sure as to how long we're going to have to practice social distancing. There is a very real reality here that this is not going to be a two-week or three-week scenario. This could be months long. Crisis presents opportunities for innovation and paradigm shifts. And so this is something for us to potentially lean into. Some key questions that we should be asking ourselves, and I know that I'm asking myself as well, is one, how can we facilitate disciple-making environments while practicing social distancing? Two, what will our society look like when this is all over? We are unsure about the long-term effects of this. And number three, how can we continue to be committed to the Great Commission? It's a lot of us in churches are currently in a survival status right now. We're trying to figure out how do we meet the needs of our current churches, our current church congregations, but how are we going to continue to remain outward focused in this time? And how can we continue to be committed to the Great Commission? Should be really on our forefront of our mind. If you're thinking about maybe doing a micro church or micro site strategy, this is going to be, I'm just downloading all that I have for you. And some of these things are going to be idea provoking, but also some things to be thinking about of the assessment of your current values, especially if you think through potentially this could be a longer term scenario. Some questions you should be asking yourself: what values do we have today that can be executed in the current reality? So evaluate your current values, your core values of your church. What is it that you have today that can be executed in the current reality? And then ask yourself what values can't be executed today. And then what values translate to a possible new long-term reality or change in human behavior, work, education, and technological dependence. I think this is something that people are just now starting to come to terms with and realize. China is just now beginning to release some of their harder quarantine lockdown status, but we don't know what the long-term is going to look like. So we're going to look to them to see how people are reacting and adapting in society and how their work and education, technological dependence is going to change. A projection I just saw late last night is potentially the suggestion that kids don't go back to school even in the fall because we don't have a vaccine yet. So there's some really long-term potential here that we need to think about. And similar to the second question is what values can't be translated into this new environment? So for example, if you happen to have one of your core values is a high impact worship experience, that's probably dependent on the worship team, a band, and then also the environment that you create with a max capacity a number of people in a room. If that cannot be achieved, if that's a core value, that may not translate, certainly today, won't translate tomorrow, and may not translate a long-term in the future. So we need to be thinking about, we need to be assessing our current values and what are the ones that we want to live and die by, and what are the ones that we're going to have to reconsider. Some strategic assessment questions to be thinking through right now is how might a microchurch strategy serve our church community now and in the future? How might such a strategy help us continue to participate in God's mission in the future? What expectations need to change regarding staff roles? And what expectations need to change regarding the role of the congregation? So again, we need to be thinking about our staffing. We need to be thinking about our teams and our volunteers. And also, what are the roles of the congregation? What are the expectations that they have? we've been leaning on for the last 100 years or more, and thinking through even what we just knew 2 weeks ago, which was the norm, what is now what used to be the norm is not normal now. And so we need to be thinking about how we're going to adjust their expectations. And what leaders do we already have in place, and how can they be leveraged in new or creative ways for ministry specifically? And what resources do we already have, and what resources might we need? So these are some questions I'm sure your team has already been thinking through, but hopefully this will spur some additional conversation and ideas. All right, so I want to share a little bit about our playbook, and I'm just using this as kind of just a loose term here, but for us at Restoration Church, this is really what we've been doing in some different iterations and at times, and we've been pretty flexible with ourselves and able to do that. And so this is really just kind of how we have been adapting and practicing this particular micro church, house church kind of model in this kind of way. And so hopefully this will give you some ideas. And by the way, I want to mention too, in your chat box, if you guys want to start chatting and sharing some questions that you might have along the way or some thoughts, feel free to do that. My wife, Mary, is on the line as well too. She's going to be moderating that. And then also if we have some time at the end here, I'll be happy to answer some of those questions. So our playbook. So this is what we do. Before the weekend gathering, these are the expectations we have for our church. Is an email sent out typically on Tuesday. And in that email on Tuesday is going to be the passage that is going to be discussed from Scripture, because we have a high commitment to the Scriptures on Tuesday, with the passage we're going to be speaking on or talking about. And we invite everybody and ask everyone that they're invited to read that passage and do some of their own meditation on it. We're also they're also invited to watch or listen. So we have a video an audio podcast. It's done both ways on the content, which would be, again, my kind of message or sermon, if you will, that's given. And so people are invited to read the passage. They're invited to then listen or watch. What we found is that a lot of people will start on maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday. They'll watch it once. They'll revisit again, maybe even on Saturday, and possibly even again on Sunday morning. So some people are listening to this at least once, if not up to two or three times in the week. We found that that's actually been really helpful for a lot of people for digesting information and thinking through the content that's being shared. Now, recently we actually pulled back on this particular format. We kind of went to more of a Bible study format for other reasons. But this has really been our playbook really for the last couple of years. And then three, at the end of every video, and of course included in that email, is questions. So there's usually about two or three questions that people are asked, and then they're invited to reflect on those during the week. And we find that actually it's best that people don't just listen on Sunday morning and then reflect, but actually that they do it during the week, have opportunity to reflect on the content, because then they have more to share when they come together. So that's before the weekend gathering. That's the expectation. At the weekend gathering, now, again, this works really well because we have a smaller community and we do house church kind of based. This, as you think about your church, this might be in the context of if people are allowed to gather and they feel comfortable to do so in groups of 10 or less, or maybe up to 20 or less, depending upon. You'll have to listen. You'll need to pay attention to our government officials, the health department, things like that, as they give instructions over the coming days and weeks as to how people are allowed to gather. But potentially you could actually see people getting together in a house church format or a microsite format to participate in these kind of conversations, this kind of intentional gathering and community. If that's not possible, you might be able to allow people to at least do this remotely through Zoom. Last week, our church opted not to get together in person. We had some people who are already ill and not feeling well. And we have a number of people who are in the high risk category. So for the sake of everyone, we said, stay home. So we got on Zoom and we did a Zoom gathering together for about an hour. And so that's a low cost effective approach for you as a church, that you can actually have smaller groups of people to be able to do this kind of this active learning environment. So at the weekend gathering, we spend time, we're intentional about fellowship. We spend time connecting, sharing stories, talking about our lives, building our friendships, and really establishing authenticity and vulnerability within the group. We also spend time in prayer and worship. We listen to one another. We are receiving and we're offering petitions to the Lord in our crying out to Him in both our prayer and our worship time. Usually we have somebody who can play a guitar or an instrument in the room. So we'll allow that person will lead us in some songs. Some weeks that person's unavailable, not feeling well. And so we just open up our cell phones and we just get on Spotify or YouTube and we just plug in a couple of songs and play our favorites and we sing along. It's actually a very beautiful time together. Discipleship. So this is where we discuss the content that is delivered during the week and also the passage. So we have open discussion and we apply the weekly assigned passage and the teaching together in that time together. And then we always end all of our gatherings with communion. If you're remote and distant, this may not be possible unless people have supplies at their own disposal at home. As we think about hygiene, as we think about a pandemic right now and limited human interaction, this just may not be feasible or even wise. Perhaps if you start gathering together in groups of 20 or less, you just need to make that decision for yourself. But this is also just a practice that we have been doing every week. And then, of course, always service and mission. We're always asking ourselves, how do we serve others? How do we live our life on mission together and encouraging each other in that, sharing stories of ways that we're able to witness to our neighbors or our friends and coworkers. So that's really our gathering. The key here is simplicity. It's not overly complicated. This is most people look at this and go, oh, well, that's my small group. That's my community group. That's my growth group. Well, then fantastic. If that's what it is, then you actually already have the system in place and you're already doing this. But what we're doing now is thinking about how do we shift this? It's becoming the primary means and mode of operation versus a secondary one. So at the gathering expectations. So at every gathering, we have some expectations for everybody. We have group leaders and co-leaders. Well, at least we kind of work towards co-leaders, and this is something that you may be thinking about as you consider maybe a long-term strategy. The leaders don't need to be theologians. The leaders don't need to have a master's or an MDiv. They don't even need to be a pastor. These leaders are people that you would normally invite into small group leadership or growth group leadership. These are people who demonstrate the ability to facilitate conversation. These are people who care for people. These are those with the gifts of shepherd and teacher roles. And so those are the people you want leading these groups. These are the ones who are going to care for those individually who are in the room and look them in the eye and say, I love you and I'm here for you. And we want to work together and facilitate ministry together. So that's what we've really been working on, is identifying the people in our room who are best at that and have them just to be those examples for us. And who are also able to host, obviously, group times, even in their home. Group members, we expect every member to be a full participant in the group. Because everyone is invited and asked to listen to the message in advance, read the passage, and answer and reflect on the questions, everyone's expected to share, the men and the women, and we invite them to participate. We invite people to use their spiritual gifts and their talents. We have people who have some, we hear things that come from, and even as a pastor, I would just say this, like as a pastor, as one who's used to maybe preaching to a larger group, what comes out of the group time and what comes out of the smaller context, we hear amazing stories and amazing things of how people are able to apply the passage, how they're working this out in their lives, and what they're able to add even to what I initially gave has been a huge blessing to the group. And this is why we've been able to see some of the outcomes and some of the findings that we've had of really this being a really positive and powerful discipleship tool for us. Simplicity, I already mentioned that in the previous slide, but we try to keep this as simple as possible. We don't overcomplicate it. We're not focused on, production. We're not focused on quality. We're not focused on making this perfect. But rather, this to us is like we're just having our friends over and we're talking about Jesus together. And then, of course, a commitment to our values. And so we want to remain whatever those core values are as a church, as an organization that you have set up, the ones that translate, the ones that can be used in this kind of mode, and the ones that you really say, like, these are the ones we're going to live and die by. Those are the values that you're going to stick to. And those are the ones that we're always committed to. For example, scripture, this gospel story. Maybe community is one of them. Worship, prayer and living your life on mission. Now, these are the, now these are ours at Restoration Church. But perhaps you think through your values and how do they translate into this, and make sure that those are embedded within your gathering always. Then finally, post-gathering. The expectation after the gathering is that we want ministry to continue. And so on Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, we're encouraging people to continue their life in prayer, to be praying over the things that we wrestled through on Sunday, to be praying over the things that we learned about, the conversations that we had, maybe the burdens that somebody brought to the table. We want to encourage them to continue in a life of prayer. We also ask them to be active. So again, we are adoptive children of God. This is our identity. We must remain active in God's mission in the world. And so any sort of attitudes or beliefs or things that we've learned about or practices of how we need of our heart, our mind, our soul, the way we need to change, we want to put those things into action. And then, of course, sharing as well. And this is really kind of our evangelism. This is how we live in the hope in which we have in Christ, having those conversations with others, even in our circles and outside of the immediate church context as well. And so these are the three things that we're constantly always working towards, even after the gathering as well, as we look to the as we look to next week. Implementation. As you think through how you may want to think about implementing something similar to this, or maybe you want to copy what we've done, you need to think through, first of all, initially, how do we leverage the existing strategies that are accessible to us? Previously, I mentioned some of our strategies. Maybe you already have a live streaming software set up. Maybe you do Facebook Live. How might you utilize that in such a strategy? If you have small groups and community groups and they're vibrant and they're already in place, how do you begin to leverage them and make them now the priority and make them not secondary, but this is the primary ways in which we meet together? Think through some of those existing strategies that you currently have. Also recognize that this is a paradigm shift for you and your congregation. This is significant. I will tell you that going through this has not always been an easy solution for us, because although we've been moving into something that we think is innovative and exciting and powerful, it's still a paradigm shift. It's still very different. It's still difficult for some people to think through and to adjust to. So think through that as well, and just recognize that and help lead people through that. Be patient in the process with yourself, with your team, with your staff, with your leaders, with your congregation, but also to be faithful in the process as well. Meet the needs of your congregation first. How are we going to meet their needs? How are we going to continue to keep them connected, to care for them as this pandemic continues? And as we think through the future, how do we think about the shut-in, those who already can't make it to church, but those who perhaps are going to be even more limited in their mobility? And focus on empowering and equipping every member of your church, not the quality or the perfection of what you're doing. I think it's more important at this point that you're empowering them, equipping them for ministry and for the kingdom of God. Those who are maybe not in groups already, funnel everyone into a small cluster groups based on geographic location. Because if and when there's a time which these people can begin to meet, you're going to want them to be close together and not having to drive 20 or 30 minutes to a location. But make sure that everyone's connected into a small cluster groups based on geographic location. No longer those who tend to wander into your church and sit in the back. Maybe the pastor or somebody has kind of said hello to them occasionally on the way in or the way out, but they just kind of make their way in and out unnoticed. This is the time to find every single one of those individuals and get them into a small cluster group so that they can be ministered to on a regular basis and to be cared for. And of course, keep your eyes and our prayers focused on Christ and his mission. Well, we're coming to the end here, and I hope this has been helpful for you. Some resources I want to point you to. One, I don't have it available at this second, but I will by this afternoon, is a microchurch playbook. It's basically a lot of the material that I've already given you today, but with a little bit more meat to it. And I'm going to have a PDF available for you. If you registered for this, which you needed to get on, I'll send it to you directly by email later today. But I will also I'm also going to make sure I have that posted as well on my website later on. What you're going to see in that is just kind of sample core values that are core values that we have at Restoration Church. A sample weekly gathering guide. So really that's the gathering guide that I just kind of our playbook essentially is what I just shared with you. But again, with a little bit more meat to it. And then also interactive discipleship questions for leaders. So as you are looking at, as you're thinking through, like, okay, well, what are the questions that my leader should be asking in that group time? Maybe some ways of how do I help engage people in this, since this will be new. I'm going to give you some a number of questions that we tend to use on a pretty regular basis that are pretty generic, but I think really help people drive them to the scriptures, drive them to kingdom, drive them to the kingdom, to the gospel, and of course, to living on mission. Also, I want to point you to ephesiology, which is really the study of a movement, and it's very timely. I've been working on this with my friend Michael, Dr. Cooper, as well as Andrew Johnson. He's an associate pastor at Neartown Church in Houston, Texas. And we do a weekly podcast together. Michael's book just was released a few weeks ago called Ephesiology. And then, of course, we have a blog available there, too. I encourage you to go to ephesiology.com. What you're going to get there is really more of an academic, but a very theologically grounded and rooted understanding of really movements and how they begin and how they were in the first century church and ways to apply that to today. I cannot think of a more important message than right now, where the early church was under such great persecution from a physical enemy as well as a spiritual one. Today, we have a microscopic enemy and a spiritual one. And I think that there is going to be some real helpful information there for you as you think about your church and your ministry long term. Also, Francis Chan started a house church network called We Are Church in San Francisco, California, in the Bay Area, a number of years ago. I went out about a year and a half ago to do an intensive with them, and I spent a week out there with Francis and their team. I would encourage you to go to their website, wearechurch.com. You'll see some of these ideas already implemented there with their network of churches. They do not do a video cast in advance. They work a little differently. They meet as house churches during the every week. And then they do like a once a month corporate gathering, which I noticed on their website that they are suspending that for the time being due to the pandemic. But they've got some other resources available to you. And also look on their website too for what is called Church Intensive. The Church Intensive is what I just mentioned that I participated in about a year ago. But they are bringing that to a number of local cities as well, and mini one-day conferences. They're coming to the Chicagoland area in May. Obviously, you'll need to stay tuned to their website to see if those plans will change. But Sean Brakey and a number of others there from their team are going to be coming out. Rob Zabala as well are going to be coming out from We Are Church. And I've been in touch with them and helping organize that, at least here for Chicago. So I'd encourage you to perhaps, if you're able to at least get connected with them and receive some ideas. And of course, I'm going to continue blogging about some of this material as well on my website. And that's where you're going to find that playbook later on today at my website at matthewtill.com. And also, the big question is, what about kids? What do I do about my children? I'm thinking about my adults. This seems to work really well with adults. But what about kids? There's some great resources available to you out there. One I want to point you to is the Bible app for kids. If you're used to the Bible app, put together by YouVersion. They have a kids version available. If you head to their website, BibleAppForKids.com, you're going to find on their site and not only an app to download on all your devices, but also video content. But I think your biggest strategy is going to be moving forward is adopting a parent engagement strategy. You're going to need to figure out a way to get your parents involved with their children. And even in these microsite locations, I'll tell you that in our context, we work to engage our kids as much as possible. We share stories with them. We invite them into our prayer and worship time. Inevitably, they find the basement or the other room and start playing and drawing and coloring and things like that. But we do our best to engage them In our context, sometimes we'll do a little bit of childcare or another or a particular Bible story that's geared towards them. My wife, Mary, the genius that she is, on a whim over last weekend, put together Kids Church Online. You can search for the Facebook group there and request to join. She did this last week. It was quite successful. She's going to be doing it again this week as a way to engage children. Specifically, it's a Zoom conference call. That's all it is. So with parents involved, and you log in to the Zoom link, just like, as you did today. And she puts on a 20-minute children's message and a song and uses content from the Bible app for kids. And basically what the point of that is really to engage children. And this might be an idea that you may want to roll out in your own church context, perhaps even this weekend or the coming weeks. Is maybe, well, we did this an hour before our church gathering. You may want to consider that as well as an off time. Maybe if you're normally going to meet at 10 a.m., maybe you might want to do an online kids church at 9 a.m. and have parents log in using Zoom. And this way you can have parents and kids seeing each other on screen together and allowing to wave to their friends and wave to their Sunday school teachers and be able to have that kind of dialogue and that kind of conversation as well too. So that might be some helpful resource or at least an idea for you. If you want to chime in this week and just watch what we're doing or what my wife is putting together this weekend, I would encourage you to find the Facebook group Kids Church Online. And that would be a great opportunity for you to chime in and to at least kind of just see how what she's doing and borrow any ideas that you could use for your church ministry. Heavenly Father, we just thank you just for this gift of just amazing, the day and age at which we live, for having technology like this that we can leverage, Lord, for your kingdom. I want to pray over the churches and the ministries right now that are thinking through all the hard things right now and are trying to discern where to go next and what decisions that they're going to need to make for tomorrow, for this weekend, and the weekends to follow. We pray, Lord, that we would fulfill your mission and join you in your mission, but ultimately that we would desire to bring glory to you in everything and anything we do. We pray, Lord, for the health of our pastors and our leaders. We pray, Lord, for the health of even our just our congregants, Lord, as we deal with this pandemic, Father. We realize the severity and the gravity of the situation at hand. And so we pray, Lord, that you would rally the kingdom of God together. And we would see this as being really our moment to shine and to demonstrate the kingdom of God and the power of you, Jesus Christ, the power of our prayers and the power of our witness. And that even if we are stuck at home, Lord, that there would be an opportunity for us to continue to see your kingdom further and move forward for your glory. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.